for a second, please.
We're in a cultural war,
How do you think you are talking to me like that?
I resent the fact that your implication that only you are a Canadian.
The cultural war is back.
All right, my friends, away we go on this blustery Tuesday morning. I guess the bluster is just getting going. The culture warriors are ready. They're locked and loaded, and there's a lot to talk about, including some pet issues that we brought up earlier this morning. Joining us yet again in the studio, Greta Vosper, minister at the West Hill United Church and founder for the Center for Progressive Christianity. Good morning, Greta.
Good morning, John.
And Joe Boot, the Reverend Joe Boot, senior pastor at the Westminster Chapel in Toronto, on the line this morning. Couldn't make it in because of the weather. Thank you, Joe, for joining us nonetheless.
Good to be here. Morning, John. Morning, Greta.
Morning, Joe.
Well, you know why? I wanted to start with a story that our friend and colleague Lou Skeezus, the happy capitalist, has been drawing some scorn on social media for, some support as well, I'll point out, because it was what the industry minister, James Moore, said in BC yesterday. He made a comment when he was asked by a reporter about child poverty rates in BC. He says, well, obviously nobody wants kids to go to school hungry. Certainly we want to make sure that kids go to school full-bellied. But is that always the government's job to be there to serve people their breakfast? Empowering families with more power and resources so that they can feed their own children is, I think, a good thing. Is it my job to feed my neighbor's child? I don't think so. And that's the quote that's being cribbed and widely bandied about, the last part of it. Is it my job to feed my neighbor's child? I don't think so. In other words, he's been painted as a blue meanie and a Scrooge at Christmas. Are there no prisons? Are there no workhouses? Is it the government's job to feed his neighbor's children? I ask you, Greta Vosper.
I think that it is until what he said in the first half of the sentence is in place, that we have systems and a society that nurtures every family and provides opportunity for every family to feed their children fully before they go to school and sends them with a lunch as well. We don't have that system in place. We have far too many children whose families depend on food banks. No parent wants to send their child to school hungry. At least no adequate parent wants to do that. But the provision for employment, for childcare, for all of the natural and normal things that people think make a family able to function economically in this country are not necessarily in place. So if the government wants to step up with programs that are going to make that happen for families, then I'm all for that. But in the meantime, I think that we do have a responsibility to support and encourage and sustain families who live in poverty.
All right. So government reliance has subsumed self-reliance. You see it as the government's role primarily. Joe Boot, how about you?
Well, first of all, to bracket my comments, you know, we at Westminster Chapel run a food bank. We run a ministry to families called Save Families. We're concerned for the family. We're concerned for people who are dependent upon food banks and so forth. But this is a much broader political question about the responsibility of society as a whole. And historically, the Christian church has seen it as the church's responsibility through the tithe to make provision for the poor and needy, and that this is the family and the church together that do this, because there's no such thing as a free lunch. The state has to do everything it does coercively, and to give to one is simply to take from another. And this means that the state really doesn't do charity. Charity is voluntary giving. The state coerces people through progressive taxation, which I think is a form of theft, actually. So you can understand what the gentleman is saying, because we cannot be seen to sponsor irresponsibility. St. Paul says if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. So I think when charity is personal and it's done through the family and the church, there's personal contact. You can actually measure the way in which somebody is responding to voluntary giving. You can actually test whether or examine whether a person is being irresponsible or responsible with their family. The state doesn't really do that, and you create a culture of entitlements, not a culture of charity.
So if someone that you're supporting, as many, many, many congregations do, if someone that you're supporting, if you determine that they're not doing enough to really earn that, what is it you do? Do you cut them off?
Well, we have, certainly at Westminster, we have a deacon's fund, which is involved in supporting people who can't pay their bills, can't pay their rent, and so on and so forth. And yes, there's a certain criteria by which we require that people are seeking to take some responsibility for themselves. Otherwise, you just create a culture of entitlements and handouts, and it's simply taking from one group of people to give to others who can't be bothered. And that's not, from a Christian perspective, a moral concept.
All right, so Joe Boot, again, there's a distinction between your point of view and that of Greta Vosper, whereas Greta believes the instrument of government is, and it's coercive in its nature, confiscatory taxation, whatever, that is morally appropriate for government to do these things and then apportion, redistribute the monies to look after people who have fallen through the cracks, on the margins, whatever.
But they redistribute the money for – I mean, we talk about the poor because that's the big thing, and because we can get this specter of the person who, you know, doesn't deserve something in our heads and then get all angry about it. But we use that taxation program for all kinds of things that benefit us, like roads that people who use transit will never drive upon, and hospital systems that those who take care of themselves may never enter. I mean, we have to recognize that there are a number of things that our taxation system supports that no one really does anything on their own.
You're saying it's justified. It's a role that government
it's
should
It's just easy to
should
attack
assume.
The poor.
Joe?
But the thing is, look, income taxes didn't even exist in this country until the 1930s. What do you think people were doing before then?
Look, the
very
Seriously,
notion,
Joe?
Well, let him explain.
The very notion of income tax as an idea was introduced, well, in the First World War, it was a temporary measure, the War Tax Act, only actually became a reality.
No. My seriously is, do you seriously want to go back before that?
I'm saying that that social financing has to be provided. We're not in disagreement there. We have to provide social financing. The question is, how is it to be provided? And is it simply a free handout that comes with no requirements of taking personal responsibility? Now, the church, my church, and you can tell me if I'm wrong here, but perhaps your church does this as well. People in my congregation largely give 10% of their income, and much of it is distributed to those in need. So I'm not speaking from a position of somebody who doesn't care about poverty or from a group of people who don't give. And we can certainly see from dropping charity giving rates in Canada today that this is not the majority perspective. So this is not an unconcern for the poor and the needy. The question is, who is to provide for the poor and the needy, and on what basis? Now, historically in Canada, it was done by the church, not by the state. And we have now a debt-ridden, collapsing Western economies that are welfare economies because we have taken an attitude of entitlement towards these things, not responsibility.
Let me ask you, Joe, if it were left to a community alone to look after the needy, could we assume that they would do an adequate job? You're saying there's a tithing that takes place in your faith-based community of 10%.
Yes.
Is there enough of a generosity of spirit to assume what the needs, the material needs, not just wants, but not wants, but needs of the people would be, or is it going to have to be taken upon government to come in and fill that gap?
Well, a few years ago, a major study was done in the U.S. that found if every church and synagogue in America looked after one welfare family, the welfare state would cease to exist. Now, today, of course, with the decline of Christianity in Canada, and we see it reflected in the charity giving, no, that wouldn't be possible. We need some state involvement in these things for the time being. But the issue is...
I lost Joe. All right. Joe was in the middle of his response.
I'm not going to finish his sentence. And I know that Joe and Joe's congregation do a lot to support the poor, and I'm certainly not critiquing that. I do think, though, that as we move into a culture that has fewer and fewer religious organizations that are intent upon caring for the poor, that we could hit a crisis if we were to depend exclusively upon them. And I think Joe is recognizing
that.
So
you say
well.
There's a moral imperative on the part of government to take monies and distribute them to the needy as they see
fit. You can't have this conversation without also talking about corporate welfare,
And we will. No, yeah. And we will. I'm going to dovetail it because well, that's my gift.
Okay.
But here in a moment, I'll tell you, too, about this new program that the provincial government has set up called Healthy Smiles. 70,000 low-income Ontario children will be eligible for free dental care under this program Deb Matthews announced yesterday. It's going to be rolled out over the next 18 months. That's for folks making up to the poverty line, or $22,000 with one child for every additional child. It increases the threshold of net income by $1,500. So let's say you got four kids. If you're making $25,000 or less, your kids are all going to get free dental care. Is that fair? Is that moral? Is that about appropriate and necessary? What about the kids of families making over $35,000, fending for themselves? What about them? How do we square that circle? We'll come back. Greta Vosper, Joe Boot is back with us. It's the Culture War. I want to invite your calls as well. It's been a touchy topic all morning. Lou Wade in is a happy capitalist. He's not happy about the government doling out his monies to these kinds of initiatives. He thinks that's immoral. Other people may beg to differ. Let's see what you have to say. James Moore is the industry minister. He's the lightning rod, questioning, is it the government's job to feed my neighbor's child? And he's received a ton of scorn on social media for that, had to walk that statement back.